الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سورة number 80 known as سورة عبسة. الله عز وجل gently admonishes his messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم for frowning in the face of a blind man who cannot see the Prophet ﷺ while he was frowning. And if we look deep into it, we would find that the Prophet ﷺ was engaged in something that we may think for ourselves that is far greater and better than attending a blind man who's already a believer. The Prophet ﷺ was with the dignitaries of Quraysh, and he was trying his level best to introduce Islam to them, and knowing that if they would accept Islam, that would have been a great achievement because their followers, their congregation would follow them as well. He was giving da'wah to Utbah and Shaybah, the sons of Rabi'ah, to Ubay ibn Khalaf, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, Abu Jahl, to Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. All of these, the Prophet was trying hard, alayhi salatu wasalam, to call them to Islam because he knew them before Islam and he knew how effective they would be in calling others to Islam, had Allah willed it that they accept Islam. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal corrected the Prophet's alayhi salatu wasalam way of thinking and elevated the way the Prophet wasallam dealt with this blind man. To us, if a blind man is there and you're making faces to him, he's not seeing it. So maybe it wouldn't be that bad as if you do it to someone who can see. Allah Azza wa Jal, this incident, he did not want his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam even to go to that level. Though there's nothing wrong in it. The man does not see. The Prophet did not reprimand him. The Prophet did not say any bad things to him or come later on. No. The only thing that the Prophet did was to frown. And this expression on his face did not affect the blind man. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal, even this frowning, did not accept it for his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he admonished the Prophet ﷺ gently, beautifully, as we've studied last time. And he did not address him in the very beginning, because this would have been a bit harsh to the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, he frowned and gave his back to the blind man. But then Allah Azza wa Jal directed the Prophet ﷺ that this is not the way to do it. Yes, it's a good cause to give da'wah to the disbelievers, but it is not good because they are not coming forward. They're not seeking it. On the contrary, they're thinking about it and they are not following it. While this blind man, he's in pursuit of what gets him closer to Allah, and he's in pursuit of what purifies his heart and his soul as well. So Allah Azza wa Jal told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in so many different places in the Quran that don't be deceived by their actions, because sometimes you may utilize your time in a lost cause, and this would not be utilizing, this would be wasting your time. And so many times a lot of the brothers would focus on things where their time can be much better utilized elsewhere. So giving da'wah is a good cause. But if you can give da'wah where people would benefit from it in great numbers and on immediate effect, that would be better than wasting time with people that probably will accept and most likely they won't. And you spend a lot of time pursuing them. And that is why in the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ was addressed, and we, the followers of the Prophet ﷺ, are addressed as well, that listen, don't waste your time. Don't associate yourselves except with those who are seeking Allah and seeking His pleasure. For example, in Surah Al-Kahf, the Surah of the cave, which Muslims recite every single Friday. And we were told that whoever recites it whether the first 10 or last 10 ayahs of it would be protected from the trial of the Antichrist, of the Dajjal. In this particular surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 28, addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord, morning and afternoon, seeking His face, and let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world. And obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, one who follows his own lusts and whose affair has been lost. Clear-cut ayah. Now, if you ponder upon it, verse 28 of Surah Al-Kahf, read it over and over and over. Who is being addressed? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What is Allah instructing him to do? One, keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord morning and afternoon seeking His face. Okay, so this means that you have to stick by those who remember Allah Azza wa Jal and call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and in the afternoon. What is the purpose? Seeking His face, wanting His pleasure. They're doing this out of sincerity. So, for you to do this, you have to first take your mobile phone, go to contact, and scroll down, and see how many of your contacts fit this description. If you find 15 or more, you're a lucky man. If you do not find any, then you're doomed. And this means that, listen, there's something wrong in you. Because if this was addressed to the Prophet ﷺ, who had the best iman and the highest level of belief and conviction, yet Allah tells him to abide and to stick with those who are described as we had heard. If he's addressed by this, then definitely we are in far greater need than him to having such companions. Allah says, Azza wa Jal, and let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world. What do you desire? A Ferrari, a Lamborghini, a Maserati. What do you desire? A big mansion with lots of cars and a swimming pool and a tennis court and a squash court. What do you desire? A big bank account with lots and lots of figures in it. Well, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the best of His creation, let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of this world. This is not what you're supposed to do, Muhammad. And definitely this is not what we're supposed to do. Overlook what pleases Allah and focusing on this dunya. This is the wrong thing to do. Allah Azza wa Jal says, obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance. One who follows his own desires and lusts and whose affair has been lost. How many in our contact list fit this description? If I look at my contact list, I'll tell you mostly all of them. Mostly. People around us drag us down. Who are our best buddies? We tend to choose the wrong company. We always choose those who make us laugh, make us cheerful. If it was through good deeds and good jokes, that's nothing to be ashamed of. But unfortunately, those whom we select usually use bad jokes, sexual jokes, abusive jokes, obscene jokes. And they lie, backbite, mimic and imitate other Muslims and make fun of them. All of this is forbidden in Islam, a major sin. Yet they are our favorite people to hang around with. And this shows you that we do not fit this description. We do not fit the ayah that Allah had ordered His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to follow, and we're not following neither the ayah nor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And this shows you why we are considered to be bad Muslims. Why are we not as good as the companions used to be? Because we're not complying. We're not applying this to us. Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam not to turn his back to truth seekers and decide instead to be with the dignitaries. No, this is not the right thing to do. And this is mentioned in so many places in the Quran so that it would open our eyes to the truth. It would open our eyes to the fact that we should always be and stick with and have our back protected by true believers, our brothers in Islam. We have a short break. Stay tuned. And inshallah, we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now, after Allah Azza wa Jal has told His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to turn his back to the blind man, and that the Quran is there for those who want to learn it, Allah says, "Kalla, innaha tathkira." Nay, do not do like this. Indeed, it is a reminder. And these verses of the Quran are an admonition. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling His Messenger, He's telling us, the believers. See, when Allah Azza wa Jal addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, by default, the address is also to the believers, to the Muslims. Unless there is something that makes this general address to be specific only for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So when Allah says, O you Prophet of Allah, why do you make lawful things unlawful to you? When this was revealed, it was stated in the Asbab al-Nuzul, in the causes of revelation, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had made eating some type of honey forbidden for himself. He said, Wallahi, I will not eat it. And it's halal to eat honey. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling His Messenger that this is not the right thing to do. Why do you make halal things haram for you? So Allah gave us the expiation for our oaths. When we say, Wallahi, I will not eat this, I will not go there, then this making it forbidden for ourselves, there is an expiation for us to skip this and go back to square one where it was permissible and normal. So this is not an address only to the Prophet ﷺ. This is for his ummah. When Allah says, seek forgiveness of Allah, this is not only for the Prophet ﷺ. This is for the whole nation, for all of the believers to do so. So here, Allah Azza wa Jal is stating to his Prophet ﷺ that this is a reminder. What is? The verses of the Quran, the religion itself, this incident that took place with the blind man, this is a reminder for all. And it is not only for a selected number of people. Meaning that the Quran is not specifically for the rich or for the dignitary or for the wealthy. No, it is even for that blind man, for that poor person, for that one who was deprived from everything. It is a reminder to him. So you have to give that to all. Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ. So whosoever wills, let him pay attention to it. Which means that whoever comes and wants to learn, he will find the knowledge he wants. He will find the reminder he desires. He would find the knowledge that his heart would be revived by. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ. Whosoever wills. So it is our will to choose. It is our will to be guided. And no one again and again would say, well, this is something Allah had willed it long ago and I have no free will. You do have free will. When you're hungry, your free will tells you, go and get some food. When you're thirsty, your free will tells you, go and get a drink. So you do have a free will, and only the deviant people would say, no, we don't have free will. And as stated before, when someone says that I do not have a free will, and it is not logical that Allah would throw me in hell for something that He forced me to do. If someone says this, punch him hard and tell him, don't be angry. I don't have a free will, and I was forced to punch you or to cut you into pieces or to kill you. Would this be acceptable? Would you say, okay, no problem. This is something you were forced to do. Nobody would accept this. And nobody would even wait for you to explain it. Because you do have a free will. And Allah has given you this free will. Now, Allah is talking about the Quran. He's talking about this reminder. To whoever wants to remember it. To whoever wants to benefit from it. But originally, where is it? Allah says, في صحف مكرمة. It is in records held greatly in honor. And this reminder, the Quran itself, is in great, preserved, honored tablets. And they are protected. So we know that what we have in our hands today, the Quran, this is the word of Allah. Allah had spoken it. And it's also there in the preserved tablet where everything had been written down. And these record books, Allah says that it is marfu'atun mutahhara. These records are fi suhufin mukarrama. Marfu'atin mutahhara. They are elevated, exalted in dignity, and they are purified. And this shows you that purity has a great deal in Islam. We have two types of purity: spiritual purity and physical purity. The spiritual purity happens when you embrace Islam, when you accept Islam, when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, you become a Muslim, you become purified. And if you're not, you are najas. As Allah described in chapter 9, innamal mushrikuna najas. Verily that the idol worshippers are impure. Not physically only, but spiritually as well, because they associate others with Allah. And there's this physical purity, which requires that we cleanse ourselves. And that is why the Muslims pray 5 times a day, physically. And it's divided in day and night. And they cannot pray unless they purify themselves spiritually, physically, in their clothes, and in the spot they pray on. So they have to wash themselves 5 times a day. So anything that is connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, that is related to His religion, that is related to the Quran, is all pure. And Allah is telling us that these records, the preserved tablet, which the angels have, they are exalted in dignity, honored, purified. Nothing can come to it, neither physically or spiritually. Meaning that physically they're pure, but even the content of this reminder, the content of the Quran is so perfect, it's so pure, no one can find defaults in them. They are exalted in a very high, elevated place. No one can touch it except these angels. And no one can tarnish it or bring something that is impure to it. بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةً. So who's holding it? Allah says, in the hands of scribes. And these are the angels. So it is in their hands. And the word safara could be translated into scribes. It can also be translated into ambassadors or one who communicates between two. So Jibreel, peace be upon him, communicated the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ by revealing it to him. And the angels themselves, they do and execute things similar to that. So in this sense, they are the angels, whether they are the scribes who note down what Allah orders them to do, or those who transmit and communicate such knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal is describing them as scribes. And Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said in the authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who recite the Quran and they are excellent with it, meaning that they have no problem, They recite the Quran, they know tajweed, they know how to pronounce the letters, and they are excellent in doing so. Allah says that on the Day of Judgment, they will be with the as-safara, al-kiram, al-barara. The same description in the surah that we're studying. Safara, kiram, barara. And this refers to those who are excellent with the Quran will be with the angels, the scribes. But those who read it, and it is difficult for them, and this happens with a lot of the non-Arabs, and even some of the Arabs, they would read the Quran, but they're not fluent in reading it. They find difficulty in reciting it and pronouncing it and correcting their recitation. Don't give up. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, whoever suffers in such a fashion, then he has two rewards, not one. One for reciting, and one for tolerating the hardship he is suffering or he's getting through reciting it in such a fashion. So, these records are exalted in dignity, are purified, and they are in the hands of scribes who are described as kiramim barara. They are honorable and obedient. They are righteous. They do exactly what Allah tells them to do. And from these beautiful verses, we learn that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is so honored in the sight of Allah, so that Allah would address him in such a fashion so he would not be disappointed by. And secondly, it shows the great morality of the Prophet wasalam, whom Allah took care of bringing him up in such a fashion. Thirdly, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reached a level of moral conduct and morality that was second to none. And that is why whenever he, after this surah was revealed, whenever he saw Abdullah ibn Amr al-Maktoum, he used to make room for him to sit next to him and say, "Welcome, welcome to the man whom Allah Azza wa Jal gently admonished me for." Now, someone else would probably not accept this, but the Prophet was not someone else. The Prophet accepted that, embraced it, and implemented it. So it shows you his character. And finally, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, had he wrote the Quran himself, had he fabricated it himself, he would never mention such a story. With this, we come to the conclusion of this episode. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.